The 2014 midterm elections resulted in huge gains and important wins for Republicans at all levels, from Washington to state houses. The consensus has been that that was a result of discontent by the people for what things have been like in Washington politically. Oddly enough, there were ballot questions on social issues like marijuana, gay marriage, gun rights. Those passed easily. My next guest is here to give a view from the left about the midterm winners and what they are bringing to Washington. She's a blogger for The Nation, three-time Pulitzer Prize finalist, Leslie Savon. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
And thenation.com is where you can read more about the views and insight that the various journalists and authors, and we also have a direct link. It's one of those long URLs. So to get to Leslie's work directly, we have a link over at our website as well. But looking back on Tuesday night, much like it was painful for Republicans in 2006, it was not a happy night for Democrats this time around.
No, it was terrible. I just wrote a blog post, in fact, saying I was so miserable at the outcome that, you know, I could only take this tiny little crumb of solace by finding something weird that Karl Rove did that night on TV, talking about how his losing big like this is as painful as going to a proctologist without an anesthesiologist. So I thought that was pretty funny. But that was making fun of Karl Rove was my only little solace that I could have. It was just it was a bad blowout.
One of your other columns posts talks about some of the candidates who did win on the GOP side and what you define as radical. And I'm reading about, and granted, I mean, and you can look at incumbents right now and certain people in the Senate, Ted Cruz, for example. Even Ted Cruz is not endeared by the GOP establishment. They consider him a radical. And, I mean, this sounds like a weird analogy, but There's a guy from the world of pro wrestling. His name is Vince Russo. He was a writer for the WWE, and he was proclaimed this huge genius and creative mastermind. And when Ted Turner's pro wrestling organization was going down for the count, they brought him, Vince, down to run that, and he was a miserable failure. The difference being that on his own, Vince Russo didn't have a Vince McMahon say to one idea after another, nope, no way, no how. Okay, that one's pretty good. We'll go with that one. There's no filter. But so with some of these people who you classified as radical, they're now in the midst of 100 in the Senate, 435 in the House, where a leadership can say, nope, not going to happen, no way. Okay, you got something there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what's happened is that, and a lot of this is based on an article, a very good article by Norm Ornstein, who's with the American Enterprise Institute, and who wrote in the Atlantic.com the other day that these people have really been that the media takes a narrative that they like and they stick with it. The narrative this year is supposed to be in 2010 and 2012, though people who came on like big Tea Party activists and were, you know, totally out of touch on women's issues, said things like about legitimate rape and so on, that was what happened in 2010 and 2012. The narrative for the media this year is that 2014 is completely different. You don't find those kind of people. Therefore, anything that falls outside of that narrative gets ignored. And the idea that Joni Ernst, for instance, who's now will be the new senator from Iowa, that she's a centrist, that idea is gaining traction, even though down the line on all the issues, she's just as Tea Party as most anybody, in fact, believing in some and supporting a sort of conspiracy theory that's supported by the John Birch Society. She may be as radical as Cruz, but we're not, and we don't know exactly yet, but she leans that way very closely. She's more radical than Mitch McConnell, put it that way.
Oh, sure.
But she was trained as to come across differently. There's a very good article in Politico from a couple days ago that said these people, Republican candidates, literally were trained. They went to a so-called boot camp to learn how to answer questions, how to avoid awkward answers, especially on women's issues. And they were trained in such a way that trackers would meet them at the airport when they were coming into this boot camp, and trackers would bombard them with questions, ambush them like they would be ambushed by the real press, you know, and then they'd tape their answers and show them, you know, in sessions to each other and show how they stumbled, what they did wrong. And then people who were professionals, including S.E. Cupp, who works on CNN. She's a, you know, on-air commentator, and conservative commentator on CNN. She and others would train them in how to answer questions and how to comport themselves if they were going to be candidates. And it was a grueling process. It lasted for days. And that's how they sort of got rid of the style of looking radical, while their ideas may well be the same as many of the Tea Party people that they were supposedly in contrast to.
Washington Post, not to mention a competition of any kind, but Washington Post had a great article day after the election about some of the people who were pushing the buttons behind the scenes and lighting fires under candidates. And it went up as high as Mitch McConnell. He would call up, I think it was Pat Roberts, and who was just drifting along, coasting along, and having a legitimate foot race against his opponent. And McConnell said to Roberts, get up off your butt and get campaigning out there.
Right, right. The National Republican Committee and the Senate committees, they really came down on their candidates. They instilled discipline, and they got brought tons of money in, of course, as you know, and in addition to the money of outside groups like the Koch brothers, and they drilled them. Stay on message, stay on message, stay on message. And usually the message was Obama brought us to ruin or something like that. And this is, you know, they used to, the Republicans, in fact, used to be famous for their discipline in the 80s and much of the 90s. And they started losing it around the time that, you know, George Bush was in his second term. And so they were bringing a lot of that back. And I think that in some cases, the Democrats are guilty of losing the campaign because they were running away from Obama, denying some candidates like Allison London and Grimes in Kentucky, denying that she or wouldn't answer when asked if she voted for Obama.
And Mary Landrieu.
Running away from Obama just creates this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy that he's a bad president, and, you know, so why are you even, so the question might be in the voters' mind, so why are you even in the Democratic Party? Why would I vote for a Democrat who can't even admit their president makes some good decisions when I have a Republican alternative?
Talking with Leslie Savon, who is a blogger for The Nation, three-time Pulitzer Prize finalist, thenation.com, the web you're listening to, Issues and Ideas, and you can include as far, even Mary Landrieu is still pushing Obama in Washington out of her runoff campaign path. She wants to keep it local, local, local. You know, maybe she might be able to pull one out of the hat, seeing the crash and burn that took place this past Tuesday. So that might be. Is the Landrieu campaign something for Democrats to watch right now to see how they carry things through till early December in their campaign? And if it works, then for the next time around, that's the path Democrats can follow.
Yeah, that's a really good question. She has a second chance because she'll have a runoff in January. The results will be in January, and she has time now to learn from the Democrats' mistake and the Republicans' strengths, and she can hopefully use those against her opponent. Now she's been in runoffs before, and each time she's come through twice before. She won. This is going to be a really tough runoff because she's just 1 point over her Republican opponent, Cassidy is his name. But the third candidate, who's a Tea Party Republican, has 13 points. Now, those 13 points are not going to be in the runoff. They will mostly go to the Republican, I imagine. So she has a tough job. But she should, if she's smart, should not be running away from Obama. And she made a very bold step in that direction when last week before the elections, she was asked by Chuck Todd on MSNBC, you know, why is Obama not doing well in the South? And she said the relatively obvious and true response, she said, well, the South hasn't always been the friendliest place for African Americans. That should be pretty common sense to anybody, but the media acted, oh my goodness, this is such a radical statement to say that. And indeed, the Republicans said, oh, she's insulting all Louisianans and so forth and so on. She should apologize. Good for her. She didn't apologize because it's true. And she was, what she was doing by doing that was signaling to African Americans who make up a large portion of the electorate in Louisiana that she's going to work for them and that she's, that she will, you know, she needs their votes. She also made a statement about the South hasn't always been the nicest place for women. And so she was signaling the two big constituencies that she needs to come out and vote. So whether she even goes further and you know, has Obama in Louisiana, which I doubt that she will, but is more overt about her support of Obama in order to solidify African-American vote, that would be interesting to see. And given what's happened, and we don't know exactly the shakeout from everything. We don't know exactly why people voted or didn't vote the way they did. But there's a lot of talk that by when a lot of Democratic candidates ignored or ran away from Obama, they were viewed by African Americans as dissing the president, and therefore, why should they vote for these Democrats if they couldn't even support their own president? And so we'll see. But she, you're right. She has a great opportunity to learn for this second chance.
And something other people say too, I have to wrap up here, but for a campaign to succeed, you need a target. And some people say the Democrats, in an attempt to be a mass appeal, ignored some of their target base. Again, lessons to be learned and politics to be watched. And as you as a news consumer, you have choices. You can always go to, as I call them, the head nodding sources, people that you know will just agree with you, or you can expand what you read, what you digest, and stuff that makes you think. And that's something The Nation does. TheNation.com. We've been joined by their blogger, 3-time Pulitzer Prize finalist, Leslie Savine. Leslie, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.